But now it's time to silence your cell phones as we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. Let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the Word. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today. Last Sunday, I started a new message series entitled Greater Things. The series is based on a statement Jesus made while walking with his disciples in John chapter 14. Remember, all through the Gospels, Jesus is with his disciples. He's preparing them so that when he departs and goes back to the Father, they can carry on what he started here on earth, right? Get that? So in John 14, again, part of the preparation process, he says to them these words in John 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things." Yeah, it's highlighted, bold print, greater things. And if you have your paper Bible, I would underline that, circle it, put asterisks around it, do something just to remind you that this isn't just for the 12 disciples that were following. This is for you. That one amen. All right. God's calling us to do greater things. Last week, I talked about that if we as the church are going to do greater things for Jesus, we're going to have to begin to enact a greater faith. And I told you that Jesus said these words. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Remember, I gave you some of my mustard seed last week. The rest of them are now sitting on my desk as a symbol of faith, as a symbol of the faith that God has given me to be able to do what he's called me to do, even when I don't think I can. But he's called us to greater faith. I told you that if you're going to have greater faith, the first thing you have to do, and this is so important as we launch into today to remember that you have to have faith first that God can. Does the God that you believe in, can he do what you're praying that he can do? Because if he can't, then why are you praying? And if he can't, then you've put God, the God of the universe, in a box that fits your idea of who God is. Not that. You have to believe God can. The second thing you have to believe that you will. Not that's just that God can, but that God can literally do miracles through. Not that so you get the glory, so that he gets the glory through your life. Okay? And then the third thing is you have to have belief that he hears and he answers. He doesn't just hear me. I'm not just speaking into this tunnel that my words just go away and never return. I'm speaking to the God of the universe. And because I'm his child, because you're his child, when you speak, he listens. He responds. Remember Elijah? I told you about Elijah. You can go read this in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah is on a mountain called Mount Carmel, and he calls a duel, if you will, between himself and the 450 prophets of the false religion Baal. And when he calls them, he says, "I tell you what we're going to do, boys. You call on your God, and I'm going to call on mine. And whichever God shows up by fire or answers by fire, that's God." They go, "Yeah, we agree with that." They give him the thumbs up. And they began to pray all throughout the day. They start chanting. They're just going crazy. They're cutting themselves. It was like their custom to spill blood. They're doing all this crazy stuff, and ain't nothing happening. You know why? Because Baal ain't God. But the moment that Elijah calls on God, Elohim, right? The God of the universe, the God, the supreme authority of the universe, God answers by fire and burns up the altar, and then Elijah slays the 400. All by himself. That's a bad. He believed God could. God heard his prayers and would answer them. I want you to know, if you're going to see greater things, you've got to believe those things. Today, I want to talk to you about impacting our world. God's called us to do greater things, not so that we get glory, so that he gets glory in our lives and through our lives. And if we're going to do that, we have to impact the world around us with this good news. Amen? But I want you to know it first starts really close to home. It starts within our own. And we can, you know, we talk about missions and we talk about going out and spreading the good news of Jesus to the world around us. But if we're neglecting doing it to our families first, then we got it all wrong. Look what Jesus did when he told his disciples, wait in the upper room and don't leave until you receive the power, the promised Holy Spirit, because you're going to need this power to go out and do what I've called you to do. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to show you a progression that happens in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that same progression is for us today, but I want to explain these things to you in greater detail. But he says, this is Jesus speaking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you or on you, and you'll be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then when? To the ends of the earth. Now, where's Jerusalem? That was the town they lived in. That was hometown. I want you to know we have a responsibility first to the hometown. The hometown starts in your house. Then it's Judea. That's a little further out. And then I love how he puts Samaria in there. You know, we know what Samaria represented? People that the Jews didn't like and that didn't like them. Let me ask you, just be honest with me. Anybody got people in the area, maybe people that you know that they don't like you? Like three of y'all get real with me, the rest of y'all saying nothing. Look, I got people who don't like me. No, I don't really care. But Jesus calls me to go to them too. Anybody else? Like, could you send me to somebody else? Because I really don't want to tell. I don't really want, you know, the attitude is I don't want them in heaven with me. I mean, that's for me and my friends. I could be real with you. I mean, you know. But there's, we say, oh, I love everybody except for them. And they got to be in heaven too. Then he calls us besides to go to the people we don't like and don't like. You know, we do that at New Beginnings, and not just when we go to Argentina in a month, 6 months, but we go to the ends of the earth right now. We have missionaries that we support as a church all over the world. Know that? You can go look at that board out there, and that board's growing all the time of people that we're supporting. Matter of fact, we just recently, because of our trip to Israel, we came back from Israel, and I realized while we were in Israel, you know that only 3% of all evangelism in the world happens to the Jews. That's what I said. I went, wait, what? And that's God's chosen people. Listen to what I'm telling you. Today, too. You know, in Romans, the Bible tells us that the good news was given first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. That hasn't changed. And we're doing absolutely worldwide very, very little to reach the Jew. So guess what we just did? We just partnered with three missionary couples targeting Jews in Jerusalem. Planting churches like this one in Jerusalem because it's important. Talk about a cultural, like, seemingly impossibility. They're in a culture immersed in tradition, but that's what we're doing. So anyway, the ends of the earth, right? So go turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, just so you know, Deuteronomy was believed to be written by Moses. And Moses writes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, preparing the children of Israel, giving them their history, and preparing them to go into the promised land. And that's what Deuteronomy is. It's the preparation guide, if you will, for the children of Israel on this new life in the promised land. But I want you to know what we read in Deuteronomy is so applicable to us today even that it'll blow your mind. So, look what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. These are the commands decrees and laws that the Lord your God directed me to crossing the Jordan. So that, look at the words, you, your children, and their children after them may do what? Fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you so that you may have long life on the earth. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised. Look at the progression of importance of passing on message about God. What did he said to you? Make sure you got it. Give it to who? Your children. And then who's next? Is that your grandchildren? I'm pretty sure it is. It is in my family. So we want to do what? We want to do it. Give it. Make sure that I myself have. I can't give my kids what I don't possess. Right? I can't even give them anything that looks like Christianity if I ain't practicing, right? So I got to make sure that it's in me first. I got to make sure that it's in them and that when they grow up, that they don't leave the faith, that they stay in the faith, and one day their children are now in the faith. Guess what? We're seeing that now in our family. What a blessing it is now to see your grandchildren start to begin to talk about Jesus that they're learning about in preschool at your church. That's the progression, right? What do we teach them? Not be scared to be in reverence, awe of God. Now, why? Who's the God that we're talking about? The word there, the Lord, as used in this passage, is the Hebrew word Elohim, and it means the supreme God. There's none like him. There's none more powerful than him. There's none more awesome than him. And listen to this. Here's the other part. There's none more loving. We need to be teaching our kids about this guy, this God. And in verse 2, when we respond to God by obedience, he tells us there's a promise attached. Now, that's called a promise attached to a precept. Now, a precept is just simply this. It's a set of rules that regulate behavior. So God's saying, hey, if you do these things like I've instructed you to do them, attached to this set of instructions, rules, if you will, there's a promise. Thank you from the back of the room. Moses tells the Israelites that if they'll learn to revere, have awe for God, the Elohim, right? God, Elohim, not other gods, pass it on to the next generations, and he'll do something as well. He'll cause the generations, your generations, to go on for thousands of years. The promise, and now I want you to wrap your head around this. This promise that was spoken 5,000 years ago is still going on today. The Israelites are still with us. Still on the earth. Now imagine this. Over the centuries, how many groups of people have tried to wipe them off the face of the earth? World War II, Hitler, thinking he was doing God a favor, by the way. His motivation was God, by the way. You didn't know that, did you? Hitler thought he was doing God a favor by wiping this group of people off the face of the planet. There were 9 million Jews on the face of the earth at the time of World War II. He killed 6. He almost succeeded. 6 million murdered. But God, when God is for you, no one stand against you. Although people have tried to wipe the Israelites off the planet for centuries, still going on today even, they're surrounded by people who despise them. There are people who live in Jerusalem that hate the Jews. But they're still here. What did God tell him? Your generations will go on forever. You're going to be plentiful and you're going to prosper in the land that I promised you. Now, I want you to get this. The land of Israel itself, the land, is a very prosperous land. Now, it's almost kind of mind-boggling. When you drive around the land of Israel, it's most of it's desert and mountains. There are some valleys, the Jezreel Valley, beautiful valley. You know what happens in valleys? Things grow in valleys. But on mountains and in deserts, not so much, right? But a phenomenon, we're driving through a desert, and all of a sudden we come to a grove of palm trees, like as far as the eye can see, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And they said, oh, these trees, these are date palms, and they grow date. Anybody ever had dates from it? Like literally nature's candy. Like I bought a box, I should have bought a bigger box. Ate it like in 3 days. Amazing. But these things just grow out in the desert, just groves of palm trees. The land is a plentiful land. Why? Because God's hand is on that land and God's hand is on those people. And when God's hand is on your land and God's hand is on your people, there ain't nothing coming. Now, those same promises rest upon us today. Us Gentiles that have accepted Jesus Christ, those same promises follow us. Let me continue reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. I'll explain that to you in a minute. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on who? Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frame, houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land, a large land with flourishing cities you did not build and houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide and wells you did not dig and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. And when you eat, satisfied, be careful. Yet, brought you out. I want you to know we're going to make a greater impact when things happen. And our number one is when we decide as a people that we're going to. Now, I want you to know it's no accident and no coincidence that this is the year of worship at New Beginning. And when I got to reading this, I went, there's the secret. You got to learn to worship. And I'm just telling you, there's a chance that worship the one may go to next year. Because I'm just telling you the importance of understanding as people that we need to learn to worship God above all other things. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Israelites were about to inhabit a land who had plenty gods. They were crossing the Jordan River into the land of the Canaanites. And the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and the sites, all kind of sites over there, they worshiped all kind of gods. They worshiped a god called Marduk. Marduk was, they called the god of the sun. They worshiped Molech and Ashtoreth and Baal. And later, when the Romans took over the promised land, the Romans worshiped gods called Zeus and Bacchus. And you heard all those, right? Yeah. And I know we would say, man, like, you people are just dumb, right? Like, how could you worship those gods? You know, that's not God. Right? Would you say that? Yeah. Like, y'all just dumb. Funny, I was watching TV the day we left to go to Israel, and it was Mardi Gras Day. And on Mardi Gras Day, the mayor of New Orleans is in her little thingy, and she's hosting King of Rex. Says the word. I'm not going to say it. Hail, says his name. Hail so-and-so. Hail. I went, hail. I went, hell no. How about that? I couldn't believe what I was. And I've been, I grew up in this city. And I probably said those same things, thinking, no, we're giving our allegiance to these false gods. But you may say, well, no, yeah, but we worship other things. We worship things called money. We worship things called people. We worship things called fame and fortune. We have American Idol, right? We worship people. We worship talent. We worship sports figures. Oh, yeah, see, we got all kind of other gods. We worship status. Your label say this. If we're going to make a greater impact and pass on the faith that we have, we as a people must become singers. I'm not here saying to you that there's something wrong with having clothes with somebody else's name on them, because I own them. Nothing. You just can't worship them, right? And that can't be the priority of your life, is going after those things. The priority of our lives has to be what? All over the place. The one, right? Who is the one? God, right? We have to be a people who are going after God, not just in words, but in action, in attitude, in every part of our lives. He has to be first place, not second place. Now, remember this, when they get into the promised land, they go in and they destroy all these different kings. 31 kingdoms they destroy in the promised land. They're very successful in takeover. And remember, God said, I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build, and houses, and fill with all kinds of good things. Olive groves and everything all done for you, all done ready for you. And they get in, and then after the conquering is over, Joshua, their leader now, because Moses is dead, gives them this charge. And I want you to hear what Joshua is telling them, and it's so appropriate for what I'm telling you today. Joshua chapter 24, verse 4. It says, now, here it is, fear the Lord. Would we just see that in Deuteronomy, right? Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, the ones they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, either the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the peoples in whose land you now live. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what you do, but this is what I'm going to do. And I can't control you, and I can't control my next door neighbor, but you know what? I can control what happens at 436 North. And at that address, we worship Jesus Christ and him alone, and that's it, right? And my kids know it, and my grandkids know it. Because I'm going out here telling you, but if I ain't doing it there first, then I'm a hypocrite, right? Dead. Joshua tells him that, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, serve other gods. And I know we would sit here today and we say, far be it from us. I'm not going to serve no other gods. Let me tell you something. We got to be careful. It's a fine line. And we all worship something. And I told you this several weeks ago, where we give our money and where we give our time tell a lot about what's important. Look what God said in Deuteronomy 6, verse 18. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. In other words, he said, I don't care what they do. I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned about you. For the Lord your God, who among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you. Now, he's preparing them, guys. You're in this promised land. I put you here, and I can take you out. You ever said it to your kid? I brought you in. I can take you out. Don't forget that. Think you're big? I got a 2x4 with your name on it, right? That's what my daddy used to tell me. Right? That too. If we want to be a people that are doing greater things, exercising greater faith, and making a greater impact, let's start by making the God, God in our life. Okay? Number two, if we're going to make a greater impact, we have to give God our very best. Not the worst. God doesn't want seconds. He wants first, right? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Not some of it, not a little bit of it, not what you have left over, all of it. We all need to understand this important thing. None of us will serve God and make him the most important thing in our lives until we do something first. All of. And when I tell another dude, hey, fall in love with Jesus. Listen, when I'm telling you, like, I love Jesus more than I love my wife. I love Jesus more than I love myself. I love Jesus. You know why? I understand what Jesus has done for me. I understand the sacrifice that Jesus paid for me. I understand that he went to a cross that I should have been on, and he did it for me. You know what? He did it for you too. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, strength means the best part of our lives, not the worst. God, I want to give you the best. It's what causes us to wake up every day and run towards him. So what's your heart? Not this thing. Heart, Bible, is your mind, will, and emotion. Every part of you. Every part. Your thoughts, will, emotions, everything that's you, given the, not the worst. See, now the problem is if we try, I know people that have done this in the past, their kid messes up or their kid does something wrong, you're going to write the Bible. I'm going to make you write, don't make them write the Bible, make them write a dictionary or something. Don't punish them with the word. That's the problem. We beat people up with the rules instead of teaching them about a relationship. Someone is beating our. If I beat my kids up with the Bible, they'd be running away from God. I never told them about. We get the rules. The rules will work themselves out. Listen, turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. This is it. The writer of Hebrews is talking about the new covenant here. He says, but God found fault with the people, talking about the people of Israel, and he said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned to them, declares the Lord. What was the covenant that God made with Israel back in Moses' day? It was the law covenant, okay? Right? Law, Ten Commandments. Follow these. But these jokers, they said, man, 10's not enough. Let's turn the 10 into 613. Well, you can't even keep 10. Now you just made it even more complicated. God doesn't want us complicating what he's already made simple. That's called religion. What it says in verse 10, this is the covenant I will establish after that time. After what time? After Jesus, right? Amen? I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. What is obsolete and outdated? Verse 10 of chapter 8 says, The same thing that Moses writes in Deuteronomy, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. Well, God, when God puts his laws on your mind and writes them on your hearts, first it goes to your head, and in your head, you begin to formulate, am I going to follow this? But when it moves down to your heart, it goes from head to cardiac, right? It goes to the cardia. It goes to your mind. It goes to your will and to your emotions. And when it moves from here to here, everything changes. So you're not doing it out of, oh, well, I got the rules. No, no, I'm doing it because I understand the bigger picture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, flip back, 7, said we're to impress them on our children. Talk about them when we sit at home, walk along the road, when we lie down, when we get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads, write them on frames of your houses and on your gates. Listen, you don't love out of a sense of potential punishment. You love because you're in a relationship. Our desire in that relationship. The people, even wicked people, when they love somebody, they'll do anything. Right? Imagine God, whose love is perfect, and what he's already done for us because of his love for us, and that love demands a response of the same. Isn't that? Give God your best. Number three, we need to begin. Now, again, we're talking about making a greater impact. Where do we start in our households? Well, I got to show my family first. God's number one. I got to give God my best, not just for me to see, but so that they begin to see, you know what? Dad always gives God his very best. Not doing it as a show. This isn't just for the church. This is for everybody. This is the way he lives his life. You need to see you do that. And thirdly, they need to see you begin to proclaim his promises. He said, when the Lord brings you into the land, he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, land with large flourishing, not building houses filled with all kinds of good things you didn't provide, and when you and wells you did not dig, and olive groves you did not dig. Then when you eat, I love this beautiful promise and the way the sentence starts in verse 10. Put verse 10 up there. What's the first word of that sentence? Ooh, that's a good word. When. Not if. Not maybe God will bring you into. Maybe he'll give you his promises. When. You know, I remember when our kids were younger and you know, we went through some difficult seasons of our life. You know, we left the church, we were 10 years, and we started a church with nothing, with 6 people. We struggled, man, like financially and stuff. And our kids knew things were tight. But they also knew in the midst of the tight that we were relying on and trusting God and proclaiming his promises over our situation. And you know what my kids got to see? Oh, yeah, you can give God a hand. My kids got to see over and over and over and over in our lives was God show up and do what only God could do. And we always made sure to say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. You know what my kids are telling me today? Look what God has done. Look what God has done about their own lives. When things happen in their workplaces and things happen in their school and things happen in their circles of friends and influence, they say, look what God has done. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That it's now left my generation and it's in their generation, and now my little ones are seeing. We got to proclaim the promises. Life ain't perfect. I agree with that. But just because life ain't perfect doesn't mean God is not. Because he is. His promises will come to pass in your life. If you, and would you stand with me? Greater impact happens when we worship the one. Greater impact happens when we give God our best, and greater impact happens. I tell our staff all the time, things may not be like we want them, but I promise you, promises are going to be fulfilled. The promises are already here. The promises are coming. The promises are happening day after day after day. Just, you know what we do? We just pray and sit back and wait and proclaim. And look, we say it around here all the time. Look what God has done. Look what God has done again and again and again and again. Amazing. Somebody give God a hand. Now, this is how we're going to end the service today. But any parents in the house? If you're a parent, I want you to come and join me here. And I'm going to pray this greater impact thought over you so that you take this into your household. Now, let me say, y'all want to have kids? You want to? Well, come up here. Yeah, you need to come up here. Like, you're going to do this, but you just don't have the kids yet. That's coming. Parents, I want you to look around you. I want you to know you're in a great group of people, right? And together, guys, we're going to hold each other accountable, but we're going to hold each other's hand as we walk through life and we help one another be all that God's called us to be. Is it going to be easy? Never is. But if we'll make God the most important thing, make sure we're worshiping the one. Don't forget to get your band. If you don't have a band, worship the one band. Get one on the way out. I leave this on as a reminder every day. My life's about worshiping the one. Heavenly Father, I praise the name of Jesus in this place, in my life, God, in the lives of these people. And I pray, God, as we, as a group of people, as a church, rise up together, united, joined together, God, with the goal and purpose of worshiping Jesus above all the gods of this world. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do. And I pray, God, as we give you our best and proclaim your promises over our lives and over our families, we will see the manifestation of the promises come to pass just the way you said it, at the time you said it, and exactly the way you said it. We give you all the praise today because you're worthy in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.